Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. You are now listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
And I'm Nolan.
And this is episode number 52. Kenny, Nolan, what books did you read as a kid? I'm talking about kind of your middle school years, because for me, like, I didn't have Harry Potter, I didn't have Hunger Games, I didn't have Divergent or any of those. So we had to do something different. What did you guys? What was your go-to as a middle schooler?
One novel in particular was a favorite of mine. It's called Holes.
So good.
Forgot the author's name. Apologize, but Holes. They made a movie about it with Shia LaBeouf. And I also like the Hardy Boys a lot.
Oh, detective series.
I actually did lots of Hardy Boys as a kid.
Yeah, I was Nancy Drew.
I was picking Kenny for a Nancy Drew guy.
I was Boxcar Children.
Yeah. Babysitter's Club. What? Get out of my brain.
So what did you read, Kenny?
I don't know. I was probably doing like Lord of the Rings or fantasy like that.
Okay, sorry. Gosh, you're way advanced as a kid.
I'm sorry, I was that kid.
My AR level wasn't that high.
Yeah, we're here reading out of my zoo league books just to get our 1.5 points, dude.
No, I was that kid that kind of like scoffed at the kids that read Goosebumps and stuff.
Why, okay, well, now let me announce what I read: Animorphs and Goosebumps. So you were too good for Goosebumps.
No, I read a few and actually really enjoyed them, but it wasn't like
you just didn't tell anybody about it.
Yeah.
Nolan, did you do Goosebumps? Was that a little bit a little bit before you?
I did Goosebumps. I had some. I mostly just watched the show though, so yeah. That's how I experienced Goosebumps.
Did either of you see the movie?
I actually thought they did a good job with it.
I didn't see it.
Oh, no?
I want to.
Like, Jack Black, well cast for that, and considering like the source material, it very much like felt like a fairly accurate like screen adaptation.
Wait, this was recent?
Yeah, it was just like a year ago or like 6 months ago.
Yeah, I thought I saw something about that. I haven't seen it.
Like, it's worth Redboxing, I think.
I'll check it out.
Yeah, I want to watch it at some point too, just for the nostalgia, because like Goosebumps was a huge part, at least, of my early childhood. And there was one thing that most of the Goosebumps books had in common. I mean, obviously, they were spooky, they were scary, all that. But they often took place in strange, weird houses where monsters and mysteries would come to life. Much like in our retro video game of the week, Alone in the Dark.
Overview.
So Alone in the Dark is actually a pretty important game. It is widely considered, probably accurately considered, to be the first video game in the survival horror genre.
That is a big deal.
Yeah, absolutely. It really like birthed, or at least was super influential in starting a bunch of things. It ended up becoming, you know, really big. The Resident Evil stuff, the Silent Hill stuff, spawned a bunch of later games in its own series, and really just did some pretty interesting and creative things, even on the development side. This game came out in 1992 and was a DOS title, so it's a PC game, published by Infogrames, I think is probably how you say it. Not aware of them as
a bad
publisher. I'm sure they're not around anymore. I don't know. I can't actually be sure of that. And it is exactly what you would think a 92 version of a survival horror game would be. You know, you are a character who gets dropped into the middle of the story and find yourself in a house in the middle of a mystery and having to kind of just use your surroundings to claw your way out.
I didn't expect it to be the game that it was. I don't know about y'all, but
I didn't
going
either.
Into it, like I thought it would try to be spooky, but that it would focus primarily on like solving puzzles and trying to get through this haunted mansion. But it kind of like heavily leaned on horror. Like legitimate scares.
Yeah.
Some. I was really afraid it was going to be, and obviously if I'd thought better about 92 and the year it came out and some of the like graphical limitations, I wouldn't have been worried about this as much. But I was worried this was more like first person kind of immersive horror, the kind of horror game that like does like jump scares and stuff.
And that would have terrified you?
Yeah, and that I really, really, really can't dig. Like if we get one of those games, like I might play it a little, and then when I have to change my pants, just like hang it up for the week.
Yeah. Because
that's not my thing. But this, like, it set atmosphere and was going for, you know, dark, but without, you know, depending on the jump scare kind of dark, but actually like creating an environment that was spooky.
You say that, and I agree, but at the same time, like, there were a few jump scares that got me. There were a few times where I was not expecting for something to be behind the door that I'm opening, and then there was.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Or there was something scratching at a window, and I didn't want it to come into the room with me.
even as simple as, like, walking around and not expecting a world interaction, the first time I, like, fell through a floor suddenly, you know, and they, like, there's noise and sound and the whole thing, and it's unexpected. I even that got my heart rate going a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also thought they had to get creative with it because it's not like, you know, they don't have like this really impressive graphics engine to work with that developers would nowadays to and scary. So they use like camera angles, like these weird camera angles from different perspectives. Like when you enter a library or something, like the camera angle will be up on top of a bookshelf or something. And I thought that was really creative. They also use the point of view of a monster at times. Like when you're coming up to the mansion, you see like these hands on the window looking out at you. They got really creative with it. I thought it was fun.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, like, they did a great job with sound, which is so much of setting like tone in something that's supposed to be scary. Like doing sound effects. Again, there were a few of them that were a little dated, but.
But still,
you can only do so much with like 1992 and like polygon based characters walking around in a like pre-rendered like faux 3D actually 2D environment. I don't know what that noise was, but it scared me.
Yeah, but not this only
episode,
the sound effects,
like I'm still jumpy from this week.
Not only the sound effects, but the music too. I think the music really did a solid job of setting the scene and causing it to be ominous and eerie.
I enjoyed the sound effects too. So the thunder was a really good one, and then there's really good floor creaking noises out throughout, like just walking through the house.
Yeah, they really are.
Like we're making it sound really. I don't know. I feel like so far we're making it sound like this really good game. It definitely.
Yeah, we may be overhyping compared to what people actually know it was. They've got to remember what graphics looked like in 1992, even when you were being pretty cutting
edge. And I'm not trying to like pull the reins back yet. I'm just saying like I honestly had no idea what to expect. But yeah, I liked the whole angle they took. It wasn't just a mystery. It was more so like a scare thing. Like they went with the whole like horror genre with it, and I love that.
Which, Kenny, you failed to expand any on the story. You were just like, it's exactly what you think it should be. No, okay, so you get to select your character at the beginning. You're either the niece of this character who has died, and her name is Emily, or you're this PI, private investigator named Edward, and you select one of them. Their story is different, and the reason for being in the house is different, but other than that, the gameplay is going to be identical. There's no different storyline.
If you're a girl, you're a slightly uglier polygon than if you're the guy in this case.
Right.
They did a much better job with him than with her.
And notice that Kenny did just say polygon because that's about all that you get. It's not polygons. You don't have multiple.
Just one.
You have one polygon that it represents the character.
Almost.
But the story, I mean, it kind of becomes this deep and robust story, but really was what's going on is for whatever reason you're in this mansion and it's a haunted mansion where this guy has committed suicide, and so you're either his niece coming to like retrieve his belongings, or you're this private investigator that's coming to, I think, search for like a piano or something like that, and to see what had happened. And in there, you get locked in, and things start to unravel where you discover that the mansion really is possessed, or the things within it, it's haunted. There's a lot of evil and some history there.
And
you
it's
find
not like
this
there's
through
a lot
books
of build
and
up
notes
there.
That you read, and it kind of builds that up and unfolds that story as you progress.
But like they don't pull punches. Like as soon as you're in that attic and playing the game, like you immediately encounter this, you know, supernatural beast flying through the window. trying to kill you. And considering like the old game and the fact that the interface is not especially like intuitive, I guess I may be getting a little ahead of ourselves though. Like it's a kind of rough learning curve there.
Well, let's talk about the interface. Let's go into gameplay and talk about what this game is built upon. Not just the graphics, not just the music, and definitely not the story. Let's talk about the gameplay.
Gameplay for the most part is just collecting like trinkets and items, like a lamp, for instance, when it gets dark, obviously. But your controls are kind of bad. I don't know if you guys had
they're not as
much
bad as
problems
I
with the
thought
controls
they were. As soon as I figured out how to like have the one button that was like do things, as well as your mobility buttons, then it became pretty obvious that you were supposed to like scroll through which like active doing of things thing you were going to do. That was a terrible explanation.
I mean, it's not intuitive. Like it took us a few deaths to really kind of figure out how to control our characters well, and before it started feeling more and more fluid. I don't know if either of you guys saw, but I actually did a first play this week, and it wasn't just me alone. It was me and my wife. And
did you have any lights on?
We didn't play the game alone in the dark.
Accurate you were in the name of the game. You were neither alone nor in the dark.
We didn't play the game alone. We were together. We didn't play it in the dark because we're wimps. You can see in that video that we quickly got frustrated, and it took us a few deaths to actually learn how to properly maneuver. It was really easy to die. It was hard to control your character. And so we put the game away. We came back a day later, and we were kind of much more competent the second time around. And so we started going throughout and learning as we went and learning what not to do. And we started implementing a kind of a liberal use of saves, which I didn't even realize they had at the beginning. But then when I realized that you could save at any time,
necessary in a game like this.
Yeah, you don't lose much progress at all as long as you're saving regularly. And so we got deeper and deeper into the game, and we weren't stuck at the beginning.
I had difficulty with the bits of combat that you have to do. It's not a lot. Well,
I don't know. It's pretty consistent.
Throughout the entire game, there's kind of a lot. But yeah. Even the first... Okay, so the first fight, Kenny, you said you come across this supernatural creature at the beginning. And yeah, it jumps out the window, and I'm like, what? Like, there's why... First of all, you have to fight this thing, and I died a bunch to this thing because there's no feedback in the combat system. Like you're kicking at him, and you don't know if it's doing anything or if it is or if it isn't, and it wasn't. So that was frustrating to me, and I got stuck on that first guy for a long time. But when I say the controls were clunky, it was just the fact that it's just the forward, left, right, back movement, but it's slow, and I don't know. I felt like it was pretty hard. It was a hurdle that I had to get
over. It definitely
over.
Was like early PC era before kind of like, I don't know, standards for kind of what people expect, you know, existed. Yeah. And I thought for that limitation, they actually made it work pretty well. Once
That's
you got
true.
Used to yeah. the moving around and the like using the space bar to perform actions, and once you did the learning, you know, you either pulled out the manual and read how to do it, or you know, found a tutorial or whatever, it actually wasn't too bad. Like we've used some interfaces that are actually like terrible or clunky or not responsive or don't actually make sense. This one you just had to get it, but after that I quit even thinking about it at some point, you know.
Yeah, same here. But actions and interface, we need to describe, because all actions begin by pausing the game, and you open your menu, and then you select your item. Okay, even if it's yourself, you've got to select, and then you select what to do with said item, and then you return to the gameplay, and then you can press and hold the space bar for that action to be completed. So it is tedious.
For example, the shotgun that I had to use to kill this monster, you have to like go to use, and you also have like drop and pointless stuff that you wouldn't want to use. Like I don't want to drop the shotgun, but you select use, and then you come out of it and you're holding it, and then you can use it. So that also slows down the gameplay a little bit, but I got used to that part. That wasn't terrible. That felt very RPG. Even games like Shining Force that we played and Earthbound, where you have to like pull up a menu and then you select talk if you want to talk to somebody or, you know. So I got used to that. It felt very RPG to me. I like it.
Well, and you think about like really old PC titles. What did we play? Like NetBound? Is that what it was called?
NetHack.
NetHack. I'm sorry. Yeah. Or even like only text-based games. And there's lots of that. You know, like you find an item. What do you want to do with the item? You know, use, jump, equip, drop, throw. And so it really is obvious kind of where in the progression of games this one falls.
So Kara and I, in playing, were able to eventually get to the end of the game. We finally got to the end. We did all the tasks. It's not the longest game in the world, but...
That's still impressive, though.
Yeah, but if you don't know what you're doing, it's going to take a while, and it's going to take trial and error. And
I think that's worth pointing out, because especially if you're not following a guide or something, this game is a lot of trial and error. There's stuff that seems completely innocuous that you're going to do, and it's just immediately going to kill you. And if you haven't saved recently, you know, you got to go back and do that. There's an item that may not seem important that you just, like, discard that you need later in the game to, like, progress. And so you may actually be walking back a bunch of rooms if you haven't, you know, known that you need those kinds of things. So,
and if you're impatient, then you're probably not going to realize what you're supposed to do, because a lot of the clues come through books that you read or notes that you find.
Yeah, or items that are subtle, or like it's one of those things that you have to either be, you know, at this point in time, especially playing an older game, going back and using a guide intentionally, or committing to letting it kind of be a longer experience than you would think it would be. And trying something and then trying it again and then figuring it out and then getting frustrated with a puzzle and then just trying something different. And eventually it comes together, you know?
And so I said that we got to the end of the game, and we did, but this is what happened. Spoiler alert. We got to the final dungeon, final boss, threw the lantern at the tree that's supposed to set it on fire, and then we walked out of the entire building, got to the front doors, which any other time in the game that you try to go out the front doors, you get instantly killed by the monster that's waiting out there. But once you complete this final action deep in the dungeon and destroy the monster, then you can escape, walk out the front door.
Did you like not have the item you needed to get out the door?
We had the item. We did everything correct, except when we threw the lantern at the tree, it must have not caught the tree on fire, and the tree was still alive. So we walked all the way out and walked out the door and got killed.
What? How can that accidentally happen, though?
We didn't know what kind of animation was supposed to play. We thought the lantern hits, you know, it's hard to determine your aim. And so and it made a noise. We thought we had won, and we walked out the door victorious.
Got killed
and then
by those tentacle things.
That's so defeating, because the game so was defeating. So slow.
So we looked at each other and I was like, we're not doing that again.
Sucks.
We're done.
Aged.
For me, this was the most twisted game when it comes to trying to describe how it's aged. I don't know if you guys felt the same way, but in some ways it has aged spectacularly poorly, and in other ways it has aged spectacularly well.
Absolutely.
So like an example for each, you can use the action push to barricade windows or block doors to prevent monsters from entering. That is brilliant for its time. For its time, like, that's brilliant that you could push a bookshelf or a cabinet over across a window, which actually does prevent a monster from coming into the room. That's exceptional. But you also have to watch Emily or Edward, whoever you select, walk from the entrance of the mansion all the way up to the attic for a whole 2 minutes at the start of each game. So just a terrible design choice, and even worse with the impatient generation that we are.
Well, look, about the push and block monster thing, I also really felt like they gave you a lot of creativity in how you wanted to play this game. And that's pretty rare, because especially in this genre, like, you, it almost feels like there's a scripted way that you should do these games.
A lot of this genre stays very, very linear. And this, though this one isn't completely, they put some non-linear elements in where you could go through, you know, rooms in different orders, and you could really kind of make some of those choices as to whether you participated in certain content or not.
Yeah. So go back to the first monster. I had to back into this corner so he couldn't touch me, and then I had to shoot him. So I just felt like there's a lot of things that could happen to different people. Like, everyone would have a different experience playing through it, and for that old of a game.
To some degree. I mean, it's not like a completely open world. It's still, you know, you're still progressing, and you'll get to puzzles that you either solve them or you don't. But you definitely feel like,
yeah, sure,
you have a certain amount of control that kind of gives you ownership for the story, I think.
Kenny, you mentioned at the beginning, but I think it's important to really mention again, Alone in the Dark is kind of considered the forefather of the survival horror genre.
Absolutely.
Which is very interesting. Like, you mentioned that it spawned kind of, or that it at least impressed the Resident Evil franchise, or kind of like led to, but also like the Lucius games, or Outlast, even one of the more, some of the more recent mm-hmm. games,
sure.
Amnesia, those kinds of things. All these games have Alone in the Dark to thank, which says something about its age, or at least what it meant for for gamers during that time. That's impressive.
Absolutely.
It really is.
Like, we can nitpick the controls or the graphics, like the elements of the actual game, but you can't deny that if you have played Amnesia, I'll just use that one for example, because I've played that one.
I can't remember if I've played that game before.
It got inspired by this game. Like, hands down, you're in a mansion. You're picking up items to use, and you're at a creepy mansion trying to uncover the mystery. Like, come on. They hit something really well when they made this game.
Yeah, I'd agree. And always, you know, my big thing that I come back to when I think about how well has a game aged, and obviously there's other factors, but is just the question of, like, is it still fun? You know, is it enjoyable? And as much as, like, there were some frustrating things with user interface and with the look and limitations of what they could do visually. In fact, I found at one point there was some really good creepy music playing and, like, sound effects going on. And I actually closed my eyes and I got more scared than I was, like, watching the screen. You know, because the graphics are just so impossible to actually really immerse yourself in, but like
they're not immersive.
Despite all of that, because, you know, because it's good story, and because I don't know, there's just this sort of charm to this. Like, you're in a house, survive, get out. Stuff is coming after you. Idea that even though, like, there were lots of hurdles, I felt like this was a fun game.
But did you feel like it was a game that receives your New Game Plus status? We will find out next time on New Game Plus.
Come back next week.
The final shell shock.
All right, it's time. Do you give this game your vote for New Game Plus status? I'm kind of excited because I do not know. I can't tell
I
what you guys
either.
Are going to do or say. So
I don't know what I'm going to say.
Dustin, start us off.
We'll allow myself to start us off.
Perfect.
Kenny threw that one at you.
All right, let's say this. It is a special game.
Special as in, like, you know,
special.
A challenge?
I mean, we cannot deny that this game has a place in retro gaming history, okay?
Yes.
Yonoid and other games like that should have never been created. But this game, it should have been created. I'm glad that it was created. It actually has, for me, an interesting story. Guys, we didn't even mention voice acting. Like, what?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Really
I didn't
great,
even, I didn't,
especially
I did not
for
plan for it to have voice acting. In the first play, you'll realize, like, I started reading the first book that we found. Or no, I started reading the kind
intro
of the bio,
text. Yeah.
The intro text out loud in the first play, and was instantly caught off guard because they had voice acting.
Yeah, that was impressive. It's a DOS game too. That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay, so voice, they had solid music. I enjoyed it. I thought it helped with the tone and provided you with a few legitimate scares. Okay,
sure.
So it's also set the stage for some other great games in the genre and just kind of left a mark on gaming in general. Nevertheless, I do not give it my New Game Plus seal of approval because I do not think it's a game that must be played. And I think a lot of our viewers will be too bothered by some of the glaring issues that we've already mentioned, and that it would prevent a lot of people from actually enjoying what this game sought out to be. So while I enjoyed it, my wife enjoyed it even more, and I think that it deserves the place that it has in gaming history. I do not think it's one that I would encourage you all to play, and therefore I do not give it my vote for New Game Plus status.
Interesting.
Fair. Very fair. Kenny, you go next.
See, I think my sort of interpretation of how our even giving of status works probably just looks slightly different than yours because of what you just said. But I agree on some points and disagree on some points. Definitely an influential game. Definitely some big hurdles, especially going back and playing it in the past. Definitely one of those games that if you're trying to play as a purist and get through on your own, there's going to be some frustration in trying and trying again, and lots of trial and error, which is not my favorite thing in games by any stretch of the imagination. But all of those things being said, despite the weirdness of it, the story was fun, and there was just something, I don't know, this like charm to it. It's almost this intangible quality. You shouldn't necessarily assume that everybody's going to like this game, and I definitely don't think it's like a must play. But I think it's good enough, unique enough, influential enough that for our viewers, a lot of them are going to enjoy it, and it deserves some props. And so I'm going to give it my New Game Plus status.
Boom. That means that it comes down to you, Nolan. I've said no. Kenny has said yes. We have to have 2 out of 3 yeses for it to be approved. Nolan, what do you say?
Never had this power before. I've got a lot to say, but I'm going to sum it up. I am a huge horror fan. I love the cheesy 80s horror films to the modern overdone ones. That's always a satanic ritual. And so I only recently discovered this was a video game genre when I played Amnesia a couple years ago, and I really enjoyed it. So I was actually pretty excited to play this game and try it just because I've seen it around here and there on speedrun sites. The game feels really old. And it feels like one of those games that you accidentally play as a kid for like 5 minutes and then you lose interest. But when I gave it a chance and I got through the game, I've got to say that they did get really creative with this game and how they went about like setting the horror tone with the camera angles. Like, that was one of my favorite things, decisions that they made, was the whole camera angle aspect and exploring the viewpoint that you have in each room. They had a couple jump scares in there. They had like the monsters, which aren't scary. It's like I wasn't scared playing the game necessarily like I would in some of the newer ones, but I still like that because I think it's just a fun genre. So I give it New Game Plus. Of course I give it New Game Plus. I thought it was awesome. I love this game. I think that you should play this game, but also go play Amnesia. Also go play Outlast. I think Outlast is such a good game. It was like, I don't know, I think it's an indie game. I don't think a really big studio made it, and they did a great job.
See, I'm the opposite. Like, this one gets New Game Plus from me, but like, avoid anything with horror in the title, generally.
Don't go scare yourself willingly. Just,
yeah, why would you want to experience that?
They're great games, and look, this should have been our Halloween special, by the way.
Yeah, that would have been smart. I'm very intrigued that you guys both, in spite of the issues with this game, that you said yeah.
It's got charm. It's yeah. There's something about it that I love.
And I think you have to also sort of give credit to some of these titles that like just had a big influence, you know? And if it was just that, I don't think that would be enough.
No, I don't either.
And if it was just like it made me smile and I don't know why I still want to keep playing it because I feel like I shouldn't, but I do. You know, that might be enough. It's like a number of those things that we're all sort of just like, you know what? This is a good game.
Well, we gave it our New Game Plus seal of approval, but did our viewers?
I doubt it. I'm going to go ahead and say most of these emails will be negative.
We received an email from Nathan at ngppodcast@gmail.com. He said, The clunky combat system effectively prevents it from being a puzzle game because there are times when you have to react very quickly or you feel weak and die. There are puzzles, but you can't just solve them at your leisure. I don't see it working as an exploration game either. The locations feel generic enough to have been randomly generated, but they're the same every time. There are a lot of objects to find, but again, they're in the same place every time, though there doesn't appear in most cases to be any real significance to the specifics, except in cases where the keys to a lock is found in the same room with it. On the other hand, it clearly doesn't work as a combat-oriented game. You don't have enough hit points for a slugfest, but the controls are too imprecise. It doesn't work as a story-based game either.
Okay.
I feel like this is maybe what it was trying to be, but if so, where's the character development? Maybe it's supposed to be a humor game, but we're meant to laugh at the terrible graphics? I just don't know. The color of the graphics is actually decent for 1992, but I'm sorry, the shape quality and level of details on both characters and objects make Wolfenstein 3D, which came out the same year, look really, really good by comparison. Nothing about this game makes me want to play it.
Called it.
Interesting. Called it. Just because I had some of the same beef, but came to the completely opposite conclusion. I think definitely it doesn't feel like a lot of titles. Definitely you can see the influence of a couple of different, like, already established genres putting this game together. But it really was trying to do something completely brand new, and may have stumbled a little bit in figuring out how to do that, but I think overall did that well enough that I don't think you can compare it to a new genre or to another genre, because it wasn't.
Okay, so you wouldn't say that it was either a puzzle game, an exploration game, a combat-oriented game, or a story-based game?
I think the, like, criticisms there for each of those things is valid. But again, I think overall what the game was trying to accomplish didn't hinge on any of those things enough that it was a problem for me.
Totally agree. Totally agree. I don't think that they were lacking in those different points, like, because they were trying to be a story game, or, you know, it was the game that they meant for it to be. It was a horror game.
Yeah, I may be weird, but standing there and just, like, kicking a monster to death or to re-death or, like, was kind of oddly satisfying.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We received another email from Antonin. He said, "From the beginning, I knew I wouldn't like it, and when I started playing the game, I liked it even less. The game was awkward to explore. I was never sure if I was facing the correct way, if an action took place, or what was really going on. I'm not sure what your experiences are with games like these, but this is worse for me than an old-school point-and-click. The reason being that I never know if I'm facing just the right way to interact with an item. I watched a walkthrough of the game, and I can understand how this was considered a revolutionary game, a forefather to Resident Evil and similar games in the genre, but it definitely did not hold up after such a long time. One good thing I'll say about the game is that the music is spot on."
Yeah, for sure.
That's two dislikes. I totally understand, though. Like, even though I liked it, I loved it. I can totally see where it's just too much. It's just not enough, maybe, for some people, like the graphics or the gameplay.
Well, let's see what Robert had to say. "This game deserves a remake. It scared the crap out of me back in the day. Nothing is scarier than a Lovecraftian horror nightmare. Reading the books added to the overall chilling atmosphere as well. Bother the wrong ghost and you're dead. Try to leave the house and you're dead. There is no escape. Your fate is sealed and you're running out of bullets. Really enjoyed the game and hope you guys grant it NGP status."
Yeah, we didn't point out that it was supposed to be based on H.P. Lovecraft's writings.
And he's right. Some of those, like, limited resources and, like, your HP coming down and only getting energy occasionally. Like, there's things even in gameplay they do to kind of add to that continual suspense.
I also thought I heard about a remake of this game a while back, and obviously that didn't come to pass, but that'd be pretty cool. I think that it deserves a remake. That'd be nice with the newer resources or whatever you want to say.
I think our viewer response this week kind of demonstrates the divided responses, the divided feelings towards this game.
Oh,
I think if you decide to play it, that you'll be in one of the camps. You'll either really dislike it or you'll really like it, but hopefully at the same time, whichever camp you're in, you'll realize that it has a place in gaming history and it deserves a place in gaming history.
Boom.
Well, guys, we hit our first goal in Patreon in 1 week. That's pretty cool.
Awesome. That's so exciting.
Yeah, super cool.
Yeah. Jeff and Zion are two of our newest patrons that have supported us. You guys are amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. You guys are awesome.
And as our first goal of $50 has been hit, we promised that we would scavenge the first 50 episodes of the NGP podcast to take select bits and pieces and bring them together to create a special episode of all of our hits. So we're going to gather some funny bits and some of the firsts and some of our just complete flops. Yeah, and maybe worst of. We'll bring some of those in there too.
Oh yeah, there's lots of that.
It's a task. We're going through the catalog. But there's some funny stuff in there that I totally forgot about. It's gonna be a good episode.
Yeah, so just know that we're working on that. It's not going to be right around the corner, but you will within works. You know, within the next little while you'll get that for your viewing pleasure. But it is that time to randomly select a new retro video game of the week from the Retro Master list that you guys have so willingly submitted gaming suggestions to. You can always do that throughout the week. Tweet us or email us and send us your retro gaming suggestions. The only stipulation is that it has to be 15 years old or older, any console, any game, and we'll add it to the list.
I hope it's another survival horror video game.
Randomizing now. I am thoroughly excited because we are going to be playing a 1985 video game.
Yo,
wow.
That is based loosely True on a retro. Traditional game called Dungeons and Dragons.
Yo.
Okay.
This game was inspired by the Wizardry computer game series, and it is entitled The Bard's Tale.
Yo. Wait, this is a pretty big one. Am I wrong?
That's Apple II, isn't it?
This is Apple II.
Uh-huh. Oh, we need to get Ken back on here.
It is an RPG that we are going to enjoy this week. Does it 1985 and Apple II? I'm wondering if it's pretty much text based or if we are going to be working with some graphics.
I don't know. I'm kind of excited.
I bet there'll be some graphics for sure.
There might be. I'm really excited, but if you didn't think this last week's game was intuitive in its maneuvering around the selections, I guarantee you that this week might even be worse.
If your hang-up was graphics, this week might be a tough one for you.
So do play The Bard's Tale with us this week. Find us on social media as well, Facebook, Twitter, at NGP Podcast. You can listen to us directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, really any podcast provider. Subscribe to us so you're the first to get our new NGP episodes. We are producing fairly regular additional content, maybe not weekly, but at least bi-weekly. We're going to be getting some first plays, some video recorded episodes and the like. We will typically release those to everyone a week after they are recorded, but we'll do a soft release to some of our patrons. So if you want some early access to some of that stuff, then visit our Patreon page and become a supporter of NGP, and you will get instant access to those as soon as they are available. So Patreon.com/NGP podcast for more information.
Thank you to our sole producer, Bradley, who is our number one supporter, who makes this podcast possible and who has been with us so long. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so encouraging to have someone like you on our side, man, and we greatly appreciate your support. Do join us next week as we play The Bard's Tale. Until then, I'm Dustin.
I'm glad this week doesn't have any jump scares.
I'm Nolan. Why does Kenny always have to do something not his name?
Because I tried too hard.
And this has been Boo!